Our reading tonight from the Word of God is found in John's Gospel and chapter 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We trust the Lord will be pleased to add his rich blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. There are many reasons why I like this verse. The last verse of this I was going to call famous chapter. I use that word because it must be one of the best known chapters to many that come to meetings of this nature. And surely there wouldn't be a series of meetings held anywhere without some reference to the amazing wealth and worth that is resident in John chapter 3. But there are many reasons why I like, in a very special way, the last verse of this chapter. I recall an experience, a very real one, and to me a most challenging one, that was mine in my early day. It would be approximately within a week of me having trusted the Lord Jesus. I was away from home when I accepted the Lord Jesus, and shortly after I returned, I remember being confronted by my mother on the back step of the house. And she looked right at me as only a mother could, and she said, "Thomas, I want to ask you a question." And I said, "Yes, what is it?" Now she said, "Listen." And I listened with all the ears I had. And she quoted this verse to me. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Following her quotation, she said, "You will see there are two parts in this verse." And I readily agree. She said, there is the first part. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And then she said, there's the second part. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now this was her question. She said, "Thomas, what part of the verse are you? In what part of the verse are you?" You know, dear friend, I shall never forget that question. It threw me back a few days ago at that moment of time. To that moment when I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And I had quickly to think it all out. And I knew there was no evasion. I knew well what my mother was after. Having prayed, I would guess, even long before I was born, that I would early come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus. There was no one more interested than she. And so I looked at my mother and I said, "Mother, I'm in the first part of the verse." You know, that's what makes the whole thing, friend. And I've never allowed the sweetness and the blessedness of that quotation that day leave my soul. And I'm using it tonight. For this meeting is not divided racially. though it could be. This meeting is not divided materially, though the difference may not be so great. And we could go through the various ways and the various means by which men are divided before men today. But you know, friend, as God looks down upon this company, He sees two classes. Those that are in the first part of this verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And that class that are found in the second part of the verse. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. There are many other reasons why I like the verse that I'm not just at this moment ready to disclose, but the chief reason is it's the Word of God. It is the verse that I would want to use tonight. If only I could bring you by the Spirit of God to see which part of the verse are you. You know, sometimes when we are dealing with precious souls and give them this challenge, often they look at it carefully and say, well, I'm not in the first part. And really, mister, I'm not in the second part either. Then I say, where are you? Well, I'm somewhere in between. Well, our friend, listen, there's no in-between here. It's as simple as that. Either you're in the first part. That is, you can look back to a moment, however long or however short ago, when you trusted the Savior, as the verse indicates, and you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you believed, as the Bible puts it, to the salvation of your soul. Or else, that has never taken place in your experience. That means you're in the second part. There is no neutral ground in this verse. There is no space where God will allow you to put your feet between the two categories thus simply expressed. Either, dear friend, in this gospel meeting, you're in the first part, and that by grace, and that gloriously, or else, you're in the second part, and that tragically. There is one feature about this lovely text that we're going to reiterate. And don't do anything else but pardon my repetition. If tonight, even at this moment of time, you discover you're in the second part, and realize that if you have not believed, and do not believe, and you die in that condition, the wrath of God will be your portion forever. And realizing that, you could take a simple step of faith that would bring you from the second part into the first part. And then the great transaction would be done. Oh, the simplicity of it. To find oneself in that position of an unbeliever. To find oneself in that position of no hope of heaven. To find oneself in the dread anticipation of eternal wrath upon you. And to realize that there is a means of salvation. There is a means of relief. There is a means of blessing. There is a means of forgiveness. And it is by simply trusting in the Lord Jesus, a step of faith. Friend, you could come from one position into the other. A step of faith. How often do we close our meetings with those lovely words, only a step to Jesus? And you know, friend, I want you to feel that there's a line drawn tonight. And as you realize you're standing in the sight of God, a hell-deserving sinner, guilty before Him, worthy of nothing but banishment from His presence, and eternal punishment you deserve. And looking to that one who in this chapter is thus referred as the God who so loved the world as to give His only begotten Son. And to realize, dear friend, as we will see again and again, that that Blessed One has provided something at the infinite cost of His own precious blood. And you could take that step of faith that would bring you from sin to grace. From death to life. From no hope of heaven. From nothing but a looking forward to judgment. To the possession of eternal life. The gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want you to feel tonight that this word is for you. And possibly there is none in the meeting like the man that I referred to. You remember the night we preached on John 6 and 37. For when I asked that young man in 1965 in Malacca, would he accept this person having read this verse? He asked me, who is the Son? You wouldn't need to ask that question, would you? But you know, friend, as I look at this verse tonight, I want to present the person that I have trusted. You ask me, what are you resting upon for eternity? I'm resting upon the Son of God. I'm resting upon the work that He accomplished. I realize, dear friend, that nothing I could do could save myself. But my eyes were open to see that Jesus did it all. Who is the Son? Well, when I preach this verse, I like to go back to the first chapter of the Gospel and tell you that from the very first verse until this one, verse 36 of chapter 3, the word Son concerning the Lord Jesus occurs 12 times. So if you didn't know who He was, just start reading at chapter 1 and go right through to this verse. And you'll see the 12 times the writer refers to the Son. That's great, you know. But who is He? I want to tell you, dear friend, He's the everlasting Word. I want to tell you tonight that He's the great Creator, for there was nothing made without Him. Anything that was made, all that was made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And we are told in this lovely chapter, dear friend, that this person who is the everlasting Word became flesh. And we're looking now at Bethlehem, aren't we? And we see Him as the Savior born. We see Him coming into manhood. We're looking now at Bethlehem, and we see that Blessed One coming into manhood by the means of the Incarnation. That's who He is. But what I want to hasten to is this. When John is looking at this person, and being directed by the Spirit of God, he addresses the company and he directs the multitude and he says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's who He is. That's who He is, friend. God's great provision. God's great provision for you and for me. And tonight, friend, I would like you to just take your eye of the preacher and take your eye of everyone in the meeting and just for the first time have a look at Christ as the Lamb of God. That's who this person is. The Son. And when we hear this man saying, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Men, we feel our hearts rising with joy and gladness in His presence. That here was one dear soul acknowledged Him as who He was. Thou art the Son of God. Now you could go right through these lovely chapters, but again to bring the cross before you. And as we have mentioned already and quoted it often in these meetings, the Son of Man. Listen to these words of John 3:14. Even as for as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's the one we're asking you to trust tonight. That is the person that I have trusted. The eternal God. The Lamb of God. The Son of God. The one dear friend that was lifted up at Calvary that every sin of yours might be forgiven. And that is the one who is in this lovely verse. He that believeth on the Son. The person I have trusted. Oh friend, allow your eyes to be taken off the Christians. Allow your eyes to be taken away from the crowd. Allow your eyes to be taken away from what we would call the church. And just for this moment of time, realize that God sets before you a person. The person of His well-beloved Son. And He utters these words to you afresh. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You know, friend, the Father loveth the Son. It was true when these words were written. It's true as I read them. It's true as I quote them. And it'll never be anything else but this. For it never was anything else but this. The Father loveth the Son. Dear friend, why is it that God is ready and willing and able to impart to you life eternal? Because, friend, if you trust the one that He loves, He'll pour upon you infinite blessing. I believe that's why the wrath of God's at the end of this verse. For you know, as you would feel if someone insulted one that you loved, you wouldn't like anyone to insult your wife. You wouldn't like anyone to insult your child. You wouldn't want anyone to do despite to a person you really love. Would you? I feel that your anger would be roused. And that righteously. My dear friend, you want to think tonight, if you've never thought before, if you cast insult upon God's beloved Son whom He loves, need I tell you, you incite His wrath. He loves Him. He never did anything else but love Him. And you know, friend, if you believe that person, he says, he hath, the person that does so, hath everlasting life. But he also says, he that believeth not the Son, he that doesn't believe Him, he that won't believe Him, he that insults Him by refusing to accept Him as the Savior, he'll never see life, but the wrath of God. Oh, think of that, friend. Chapter that carries one of the greatest verses that expresses And yet before the chapter ends, here is the great verse, the solemn verse, on the wrath of God. Now what else? He that believeth. That's the principle that I have exercised. I remember the night I believed in the Lord Jesus. That's all I did. That's all God asks. A friend of mine was sitting back watching the saints in Ebenezer break bread. He was a young boy of 10 years of age. And as he sat observing the saints breaking bread, he desired to know the Savior. And I used to love to hear him tell how he could say. So sitting in the back yonder in Ebenezer Gospel Hall, this verse came to him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And it doesn't matter, you know, the language. It's the outgoing of the heart. And this little fellow of 10 years of age, as he was then, he just said in the quietness of his heart, not a soul heard him. He says, I'll shoulder my all in Christ. That's simple. I'll shoulder my all in Christ. And he was saved as he sat at the back in the hall. No preacher. But the word doing its work. And that's really what it means. Our brother the other night brought us to that point which I feel could be illustrative here. When that man brought the offering, there was one thing that he had to do. The Bible said he was to lay his hands upon him. Upon the head of the animal. And that word has got this idea. That is it where he pressed his whole weight upon him. That is, he's depending on the value of this animal in the sight of God, whose blood is going to be shed to do something for him he cannot do. And he's resting upon it. He's depending upon it. And God says, put your hands on his head, man. And he does that. And you can see he's actually resting, as it were, upon the animal. My friend, that's the sense of this lovely word here. He that believeth on the Son. Friend, could you not rest your all for eternity upon the blessed Son of God, whose blood was shed that your sins might be forgiven, and who did a work that you could never do, and who did a work that you might be saved? Unless you do that, remember this, you'll never see life. And that was the simple principle I exercised. I just came up to that very point where I rolled my all upon the Savior, rested upon Him, believed on Him, trusted Him, accepted Him as my Savior. And the moment I rested my all upon that person who died that my sins might be forgiven, that very moment, life and blessing was mine. That's the promise I experienced. Man, I didn't realize it just as much as I realize it now. Friend, I can't go back to any other time but that night when I trusted the Lord Jesus, and that's where it began, as far as I'm concerned. What? Eternal life. He that believeth on the Son might have. Oh yes, it could have been that. What dismay. He that believeth on the Son one day could have. What disappointment. For it might never come. Speaks like that to the sinner. But when eternal life's in the question, when the soul's salvation is at stake, God's language is exceedingly real, clear, and plain. He that believeth on the Son hath, glory to God, everlasting life. That's deliverance, friend. The promise I experienced. But you know, friend, the next part of the question is so solemn. He that believeth not. I think of it this way. That is the position you have taken. If I were to ask you, do you believe? Now in the sense of this verse, you're going to have to say no. And that's the place you have taken. Believeth not. Friend, if I were to take up those words, and as our brother did, and he did it very effectively that night, believeth not. Solemn issues emerge. And I'm going to just change the word and put it into one word. And I'm going to take you right to the lake of fire. And these shall have their part in the lake of fire. You ask who? The fearful. Now here's the part. The unbelieving. The unbelieving. You know, friend, I shrink from that word. You know why? That's going to bring in possibly the largest number of people that will swell the host of the damned. Not the whoremonger. Oh, I know they're there. And the sorcerer. I know they'll be there. And the fornicator. The Bible says they'll be there too. But you know what I honestly feel tonight, friend? The greatest multitude that will languish in eternal flame will be the respectable unbeliever. That's what I feel, friend. Respectable unbeliever. That wouldn't touch those things. That wouldn't dare be seen around them at all. But they can sit in a gospel meeting and go out believing not. Shall not see life. The privilege you have missed. What a miss. But the wrath of God abideth on him. The portion, the punishment, the perdition you will endure. May God arouse you tonight and bring you to the Savior for his name's sake.